Welcome to All Road 65 Max Radio, where the road ahead gets brighter as we journey toward truth, traveling through our dreams and inspiration into a new reality. It's time, and your ticket is waiting. All aboard All Roads Lead 65 Max with Pamela Henderson.
Greetings. Thank you for joining me on BBS Radio, All Roads 65 Max. I am your host, Pamela L. Henderson. My focus is my mission statement: to help create a quality of life through social growth, inspiring jewels to become leaders by establishing partnerships with corporations, nonprofits, donors, sponsors, volunteers, the community, and abroad. Please join me every other Tuesday at noon on BBS Radio, All Roads 65 Max Radio. My special guest today is Mr. Rick Delarada, who is a multi-instrumentalist, pianist, composer, and founder of Jazz for Peace. Rick is now considered by many to be one of the finest singer pianists performing today, and one of only a handful of jazz artists who can make a successful musical presentation to a large audience without having to abandon the true art form of jazz. Through his lifelong endeavor to helping to advance people to their highest potential through the understanding of jazz, as well as spreading peace worldwide through his Jazz for Peace World Tour, Rick is an innovator and a visionary. Finally, thank you for this interview chance, Rick, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, so how are you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. You know, no complaints so far today. It's been pretty good, pretty smooth.
Really? So where you live? Where are you located?
I'm in New York City, right in the middle of New York City.
Okay. You're right. We're all the chaos.
I really am. I used to live in the Lower East. I've lived on the Upper West Side, which is right across the street from Central Park, on Central Park West. I've lived down in the Lower East Side, which is the East Village, which is kind of groovy, you know, it's kind of hip and groovy, and I loved it there. But right now, I'm literally looking, you know, my balcony looks down at 42nd Street, and I'm right on the corner of Times Square and Hell's Kitchen. Hell's Kitchen is the neighborhood just to the west of Times Square. And so it's kind of a vibrant neighborhood. The nightlife keeps getting, you know, more enchanted and wild over here. So it's a hustle and a bustle. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I have a lot of questions. I am absolutely intrigued with you. You are very inspiring, I must say. And again, thank you so much. So I'm going to get right to it.
Okay.
What was your favorite experience with music?
Favorite experience with music? Well, that's similar to a question people ask me, you know, what's the greatest place you played? What's the most amazing thing you played? And, you know, my answer to that is always basically, for me, to be honest with you, one thing that I've gotten a little bit addicted to with Jazz for Peace is the idea that when I perform now, most of my performances, every time I'm with Jazz for Peace, I'm helping an outstanding cause. So one, I feel an inner strength of that. I'm my music is making the world better with each note I play, you know, in this event, because we've done all this work to present this for the benefit of an outstanding cause. So one is the idea of making the world better. But the second one is really the magic of the moment. So, you know, I've told a story once where, you know, I've played in, you know, the biggest, there's actually an NFT called Greatest 50 Venues Performed by Rick Delarada. It's an NFT. And you can see, you know, there's 52 venues listed, big giant places, you know, the Great Hall of Culture in Helsinki, Finland, all these places. But, you know, One story I tell is how I went to play for an Indian, the American Indians in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Just one of, you know, just as an example. And here we were in this little place, nothing, you know, nothing extravagant and luxurious about it, except the magic of the people, you know, just what, when, and so, you know, I love to have a wonderful hall, a wonderful piano, a wonderful setting, but I also really love the magic that the people bring to it. And when, you know, those rare moments where you just feel that vibrancy and the actual people there. So those are probably, that's probably the greatest thing for me, is to feel the magic of the moment of the people that I'm playing for. And it could be anywhere and it could be any place. It could be in the greatest hall in the world, but it could also be in a teepee. You know what I mean?
Right. So that was my next question is, okay, who inspires you?
You know, nowadays, I used to be, normally I would say great musicians, which they still do and they always will. You know, you have your people like, you know, I mean, from Chopin, you know, to Thelonious Monk, to John Coltrane, you know, to Chick Corea, Herbie Hancock, who wrote an incredible letter once to Jazz for Peace and really just knocked my socks off with his willingness to support my activities. But anyway, you know, what happened to me was I gave an interview shortly after 9/11 when I ended up with a poem. So I had the Jazz for Peace poem and I recited the poem in Savannah, Georgia. I'm not sure where you guys are. Where are you guys located?
I'm in California.
California.
Yeah, San Francisco, but on the East Bay.
Gotcha. Wow. Well, I have great stories from California. Probably not today, but I can tell you great stories about San Francisco and even the whole state of California. But anyway, so I read a poem. I recited the poem to a reporter who had contacted me for a high profile concert I had coming up. He'd heard about that. And then in that tape recorded conversation for him to do his article, I just happened to say off the top of my head, you know what, you know, when we fill our souls up with creativity and artistry and humanity and intellectuality, our greatest, you know, our greatest compliments as a species, we have a better chance to avoid the behavior that leads to destruction. Well, that sentence ended up in Famous Quotes websites. All it just got lifted. I had nothing. I couldn't even believe what I was seeing. I mean, I find about a years later, you know, I'd be looking for something on Google and I'd see someone who listed their 50 greatest quotes and I was on it. So anyway, going to those websites, that led me to read the quotes of so many amazing people. And, you know, I have to say I'm as inspired by a Martin Luther King or, a Nikola Tesla or a Dostoevsky, you know, a great.
Right.
I'm as inspired. So now I really have to include anyone who has aspired to and achieved greatness in any form.
Wow. That is so true. You spoke about your greatest accomplishment and how that accomplishment can benefit someone today. Can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. So, you know, my greatest accomplishment really was merging the great American art form of jazz, which is our country's greatest compliment to the world, in terms of, you know, my talents in that field, right, with a fundraising model. And the fundraising model which I developed is called an empowerment tree. And I really developed it simply because I at one time had to put on my own jazz festival to launch my own record and band so that we could tour and we could, you know, perform. And in doing that, I had to myself come to the conclusion that it's not just money that you need. I was an outstanding cause myself trying to launch this thing. And I had to come to the conclusion myself that it's not only money that you need. And it's a big mistake that we're making in reality, in you know, on the news and all, thinking that we can throw money at the problem and solve it with just money alone. But, you know, outstanding causes are many components that need to be need a helpful step forward. They're underpublicized, so we have to make you a more publicized organization. They're undersponsored, so we have to make you a better sponsored organization.
Right.
They need more friends because they often have like a board and they have a few people, but what they don't have is an expanding donor base, an expanding, you know, support base. So we want to expand their support base. We want to expand their donor base. They're also underpublicized, so we need to get publicity and awareness. And they also need new and prestigious supporters, which, you know, as part of our, as we grow each branch of the empowerment tree, the tree becomes strong enough for to go after this, to go after that. And when you get a really powerful event like we try to create for every organization, now you get to the point where you can approach a prestigious supporter and they'll take a look at what you're doing and say, wow, not only is this a great cause, but it's, you know, it's behooving of me to associate myself with this outstanding cause. And it's a cause that I believe in. We try to match the cause with the person's, you know, what we call passion, you know,
right.
some certain people are passionate about certain things. And we try to find, anyway, you match that all up with the fundraising techniques that we share with each organization. And now we have something that is my greatest achievement, which is Jazz for Peace, that you can benefit from today simply by watching your podcast. If you're watching it now, gathering the information from your questions that you learn about Jazz for Peace and sending an email to info@jazzforpeace.org with whatever you want to say, your own honest opinion. Now, you can look at other stuff too. You can visit our website, watch little videos like how to get a grant in 3.5 minutes. You know, we have a video. It only takes you 3 minutes. So in a little bit of time, you can learn enough about Jazz for Peace to say whatever you want to us by email. That little comment is the seedling as we grow your empowerment tree. And I know empowerment is a big word for you because it's in your title.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, I know we spoke a little bit about it, but I'm going to ask you again because you know, it's at such as myself. I love what I do. And when I get up in the morning, I'm excited about what I do on how I can help bring peace to someone or how I can help someone whom needs peace. So how did you get off into jazz? What made you choose jazz as the form to help others through peace?
Well, you know, what happened with me was I started with the piano because I was a little kid. I was trying to catch Santa Claus on Christmas Eve without my parents finding out. And I was able to stay up late enough and just barely keeping my eyes open to see something big coming in the front door and a large, heavy set man in the back moving it. And without wanting to get caught by my parents, I figured that's enough. Let me cut my losses so they don't catch me because they'll be very upset. And I'll go to sleep. Now I know there's something down there that Santa brought in, and tomorrow I'll figure it out. So I started trying to figure out the piano by myself as someone. So basically, I started out improvising. I started by playing and listening and just trying to make a connection with the sound and all of that. And then I started studying. And as, you know, things evolved, I started to realize that, you know, as I develop as a musician and I play all styles of music, there's this one art form that I can't leave behind. I can't skip over it. I can't skip around it. You know, I can't get by around, you know, I can't, you know what I mean? It's like I'm stuck. This is something that is really like holding me to my curiosity. And that was the art form of jazz. And when it came time when the poem came out of me and the famous quote that you heard, you know, what better music that embodies all of those qualities that I said in my famous quote. I mean, in the art form of jazz, now you might not find them in every form of music, but you will find creativity in the art form of jazz. You'll find spontaneity. You'll find, you know, all of these things, humanity. You'll find, you know, passion, all of these great things that I said that is now a famous quote, you will find in the art form of jazz. And that's why it breaks barriers and reaches people of any creed, shape, form. You know, it breaks through all barriers that are holding us back. The
right.
Music, the arts and culture and jazz will do it. It'll break through.
Yes, I do.
And
agree.
Unite people.
Yeah, that you are absolutely right about that. Do you have any, or do you have a regret in the business of jazz, doing jazz or performing jazz?
You know, I think the only regret maybe that I have is just not being able to, you know, some of the things you learn, maybe I wish I could, you wish you could learn them sooner, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I found is that for me, there's all kinds of things that will go on, you know, anytime, at any moment, I'll see something and say, gee, I wish I could be a part of that. But then I always have to ask myself, but would you have sacrificed? Would you give up, you know, all the time and effort that you put in to bring Jazz for Peace to Rwanda, Africa, to bring the world back from that genocide? You know, would you sacrifice all the time that you spent to go to, you know, Pakistan and do something that no one's ever done? Would you sacrifice that for the time that you put into the United Nations event that brought, you know, Israeli Palestinians? Would you sacrifice it for the benefit concert series? And at the end of the day, I said, I wouldn't trade anything for it. So, you know, I would love to have, there's probably something about you that I'm envious of, but I wouldn't trade and so if you wouldn't trade anything for it, then I have no right to complain. That's the way I look at it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do agree, because when, like I said, when you are passionate about your creativity and when you're innovators such as you, there's nothing that can break that pattern, you know, nothing. So, I mean, that's beautiful. Tell me about some of the music you created. What is your latest song that came out? Any music?
Well, the music that I'm creating these days, and I'm going to do it, going to be doing it for you, it's mm-hmm. an absolutely free improvisation. It's completely made up. I don't even know what it's going to be. It's completely new from every single show. And I call the piece Free J.A. Now, that stems from an era in the 1960s that was right here in New York, where musicians started doing free improvisations. They would just, you know, freely improvise. And they had, it was called the loft jazz scene. And they would take these places that were like singer sewing, you know, industrial little places that nobody needs a sewing machine anymore. So they were like emptied, and they would hold their own concerts, and they called it free jazz. I ended up in Haiti one day doing a concert in Haiti. And it was another story we could spend all day on. And I had someone from Haiti a few days ago, and he wanted to hear the whole story. So if you ever, you'll check out his podcast when that comes out for the Haiti story.
Okay.
But anyway, I get there, and there's a big sign. And the mm-hmm. sign says, "Welcome, Jazz for Peace, J-A-S-S.
Mm.
Because that's the real spelling of jazz. I had seen that.
Is it?
It's the real. I saw it once before when I was a kid, because I had a friend of mine. I went to school with him. He was into the traditional New Orleans jazz, the very first jazz that was ever done, you know, that was ever evolved out of New Orleans. And he called himself the Bourbon Street Jazz Band, J-A-S-S. And I saw that. And this guy was a stickler for everything had to be authentic with him. You know what I mean? He was
right.
One of those guys, you know. And so he called, and I contacted him, and I said, "John, what the heck? I'm in Haiti. You know, I just got back from Haiti, and you got to see this video. Look at it." And I said, "The only place is you." He said, "Yeah, that's because it's a Creole word." And they had it right. It's a Creole word because these people came from Ghana, where I've also been, to Haiti, from Haiti to New Orleans. And they were the ones hearing the music as it was evolving, you know, as they were evolving with Louis Armstrong and those people, and they called it jazz. And then we took it, spelled the J's. So now I took the Z's off because it's misspelled, and then I took the S's off too because nobody knows it's spelled, the true real spelling of jazz. Now I had Free J-A, which resonates with Jazz for Peace because we stand for things like freedom of speech is a big thing that we don't want to lose
okay.
our rights. Another thing that's very important that we think is very important is the rights of journalists to report on what they see, because we believe if you punish a journalist for reporting what he sees, then that atrocity is going to happen over and over again, because people are going to say, "Hey, what the heck? They're not going to report on it. So let's do it again." And then we get to things like the bombing of innocent civilians. And I don't want anybody bombing children. You know, what do children have to do with these governments fighting with each other? You know, they spend all this money on bombs and then they bomb a kid, you know what I mean? Or a civilian after they spend all of our money on it too. You know what I mean? So so now I can call it Free J.A. And we're up to our 90 something performance. And when we got to the 36th performance, the New York Times, which is right across the street from me, I'm glad I no longer have a beef with them. They came on and joined us and said, journalism is not a crime. We also stand for this movement. And of course, there's so many other people standing for it from, you know, I don't know, so many names, Tulsi Gabbard, Rand Paul, you know, Noam Chomsky. I mean, the list is on and on. And they're all wonderful, fantastic people. And so I'm glad to be a part of that. So these are free improvisations. And what they do is they bring out the music of me now in the present, because when I improvise now, you could hear something that came from Chaka, Africa, an experience, you know, you don't know my experience, like all of my experiences combined are available to come through in this, in the short little performance that I do on every podcast.
Wow. So you really, have you been across the world, I assume? You've just been performing all over the place.
Yeah. Like I just mentioned Africa. I've been there 9 times.
Okay.
So just to Africa.
But, just to Africa? You
know, just Africa. We've done over 850 concerts for the world's most outstanding causes. Like I said, tons of them in the state of California, like all over California, you know, whether it was San Diego to Napa, you know, we've done stuff. And, you know, numerous events in San Francisco. We had the Jazz for Peace Big Band in San Francisco. We were in San Ramon. That's not too far, right?
Yeah, that's up the street. Yes.
I got to tell you something. I was in a cab in upstate New York, a little town, and I'm in a cab. And, you know, I'm in the point right now where I'll ask somebody, where are you from? Because 9 times out of 10, I've been there, or I can relate to them, or I had something, right? And the guy said, driving the cab, he said, Afghanistan. Mm. I said, no, I've never been to Afghanistan, but I am, I was on the co-build, I was on the co-billing of the first ever Afghan United States concert that united Afghanis and Americans. Jazz for Peace event took place in San Ramon.
Wow.
And there's a poster of it like up here because our whole office is covered with posters. No more room, but it's, we got the poster. If you made it on there, you're there. We're not removing you.
Right?
Yeah, but anybody knew. So anyway, he said, well, what was the name of the artist that you perform with? I said, his name is, it's on that poster, but I just can't see it. Something Naftali, whatever. I remembered the name at the time. I told him the name, right? He almost went off the road. He's like, that's my favorite artist. You perform with my band. Oh, man, let me keep your eye on the road there. But we were swerving all over the place. I mean, he just couldn't believe that I played a concert, because that was, for him, that's like Michael Jackson, you know?
Right, yeah.
But I was on a double bill with this guy, and it was a wild event. And I'll tell you something, no one's been on, because if you're on a double bill with an Afghanistan artist, musical artist, you will never forget it. Because that music is, I mean, I've heard music different than our music, but wow, that's really, that music is from a whole nother, almost seems like it's from a whole nother galaxy. It's very different from, yes. The music was so different from, I mean, night and day. I mean, I wasn't sure how they could listen to our music, if that's what they think is normal, and how we could, you know, my audience could hear their music. So I really applauded both audiences for sitting through each other's music, because they're so foreign. And it was quite an experience, yeah.
And they were jazz too?
No. They were their own Afghanistan music.
Music. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Because I'm like, really?
Yes. He's, let me just get his name quick. One second. Oh, shit. So his name is Najim Nawabi.
Okay.
That's his name, Najim Nawabi. I don't think it means anything, but. That's his name, Najim Nawabi. And if you ever hear his music, wow, it is an experience.
Wow. So my next question is, because you like to help others, and that is very important, and I appreciate that. So, Rick, if someone is going to work with you, what is important that they should know, and what might not be immediately obvious to that person whom is coming in? Because sometimes a person comes in and they just because they think they know something, then they're not ready for reality.
Right. So I think, the most fascinating thing about jazz would be a lot of people think the opposite. So most people think all I have to do is tell them about me and then they'll fall in love with what we do and they'll be able to help us. But it's the complete opposite. The more you know about us, the better we can help you. So that's how it works because you have to realize we're growing an empowerment tree together. So we're trying to make you guys more publicized, better funded, better all that stuff. You know what I mean? So the more you know about what we can do for you, the better, the more we can help you. So what we want people to understand is that, we are something, we are an opportunity for everyone to participate in being the change that they want to see in the world. And by learning about Jazz for Peace, that brings you into the position where we can really help you.
So my next question to you then is, what is jazz and the power of positive thinking when you are creating jazz?
When I create jazz, what I do is something that I found you can actually transfer into life, and you'll see people that are, involved in meditation and healing doing the same thing. I'm really trying to make a connection with, a universe, a higher power, something that is greater than, just me myself. And I'm trying to get the music to really to flow through me. So a lot of podcasts have contacted me that are paranormal, transcendent, those kinds of things because they want to get into the how the mindset works of, doing that. Because I think, in our lives, we're so in touch with basic subliminal messages coming from multinational companies that we don't realize that, a turtle has 13 little squares on its back because there are really 13 months of the year, exactly 28 days long. So we don't know that because he's in touch. He's not watching any toothpaste commercials whatsoever. You know what I mean? He's just out there with the universe and he's growing these, things that are, you know what I mean? He's in harmony. So I'm trying to allow music to flow through me. That's where, that's what that connection, it's almost like, I feel like, all of my journey to this point has made me maybe the flavor of the month of a higher being. So it's really, I'm, it's thanks for whoever tapped me as the flavor of the month right now to be able to play these improv.
That's right. So, do you have any spiritual, like before I start my day, I meditate and I talk to the higher power because there are certain things that I want to accomplish throughout the day. And I am at ease with that. So I consider that to be a spiritual enlightenment for myself. And then I can move on with my day like I'm doing with you right now. We're having this beautiful conversation and it's going great and everything. Do you have any spiritual beliefs and something that helps you to be who you are today?
Well, interestingly enough, when I was younger, I studied a type of a martial arts that is like a combination of two or three martial arts, but it also has Tai Chi and meditation. So there was a time at the end where we would sit in that full yoga position and we would just sit silently and meditate. And then after like whatever it was, could have been 15, 20 minutes into that meditation, we would then get up slowly and practice a slow form of Tai Chi. And what that does is it's bringing you into the same zone that you're describing when you start your day. And what I found is I usually start my day often with a sport, exercising. So it could be like a lot of times I'm in the mountains, and so I'll start the day with skiing in the morning. Or I'm also the founder of Ski Bums for Peace.
Well, tell me about that, Ski Bums for Peace. Wow, what is that about?
Well, what happened was I've always had a passion for skiing, and I wanted to be a ski bum, so to speak. This is a person who, you know, goes and skis the very best terrain, on the mountain, and he's an expert skier, and they do these wild things where you hike to the thing, and then you ski down it, and all these kinds of things that, you know, you really have to be an expert skier to do. And then you have to be in shape, and then you have to know the mountain and that kind of stuff. So I thought I would do that. And while I was out there doing that, you know, I thought, hey, why not, you know, start something called Ski Bums for Peace and try to get my ski friends involved in, you know, the arts and culture that way as a lead into what I do with Jazz for Peace. And it's funny because a couple of weeks ago, I was on a podcast of one of my ski bum friends.
So how did you come up with the name Jazz for Peace?
Well,
how did you come up with that name?
The name Jazz for Peace comes from a poem that I wrote on 9/11. So what happened, I was living on the Lower East Side, as I told you in the beginning of this conversation. On 9/11, that's where I was down there. And I was less than a quarter of a mile away from the World Trade Center. And when I got a phone call from someone in the morning, that morning down on Wall Street, telling me, hey, you know, I don't know what to do. Something happened, blah, blah, blah. I said, let me go on the roof and just see what the commotion's all about. I was just expecting someone flew their kite into some idiot thing happened. So I just went up on the roof and I was like, oh my God, what the heck is this? And at the end of that day, I had nothing but a bunch of words on a paper. And I called those words on a paper, that poem, I called it Jazz for Peace. So that's how it all started, right from the adversity. And you know how that works. Sometimes the greatest adversity yields the strongest, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Reaction, the most powerful reaction.
So, yes.
If it wasn't for 9/11, there'd be no Jazz for Peace, sad to say.
I can see that. Now, yeah. I know I may ask this question before, but I'm going to ask you again because it's so interesting to know about, and especially you just educated me about the correct spelling of jazz.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, and nobody knows that. I mean, I found out in Haiti, and you'd think I would have learned something all those years, right?
Yeah, right. So tell me, how can someone separate logic from emotion and explore new ways to experience happiness without others, in your opinion, when it comes to creativity, innovation?
I'll tell you, oddly enough, while I was in Utah skiing, this was a few months ago, I got a contact from a print, you know, organization. They're called the Enterprise Zone, and they're a print or article company. And they said, we want to do a print article on you. I said, okay, well, what do you want to do? They said, we want to know the 5 things that make you happy. And I was like, wow, I didn't know I was happy to start off with, but I was like, okay, well, since you guys think I am, let me see what I can do for you here. So what I did was I just took a sentence, and the sentence was, and I did it 5 times. So I did find a blank that works for you, and 5 times, and I put 5 things in it. And the first one I put in it, and this is, I didn't know myself this well to even do that. This was a learning lesson for me. I put find a philosophy that works for you. That was the first one. And then there's 4 more that followed. And maybe it was an activity or a hobby was one. Find something you're passionate about, something like that. I think the last one was find relationships, friendships and relationships that work for you. You know, and I put up a paragraph about every one. I know the last one I said, you know, because of the COVID, some people are isolated. They've been alone. They've been, you know, find friendships and relationships that work for you. That's one of the 5. another one of the five was that first one, a philosophy that works for you. And I said Stoic philosophy works for me. Find one that works for you. Here's one that works for me, and here's why. And I put a sense about that. So in Stoic philosophy, you actually, one of the, it comes from a guy named Marcus Aurelius, who was a emperor for Rome for 32 years. And after he died, he's one of the last good emperors. And they're like, wow. They found these writings. He never meant them to be published. It was like his own diary. And in there was all this incredible stuff. They put it with other people who wrote similar things, and they combined these people and called it Stoicism. Basically, it says things like, for example, there are all kinds of things in the world that can make you extremely emotional, extremely upset, and extremely, you know, wanting to lash out and all that. But in Stoicism, actually, and I have to catch myself and follow it myself, it says, do not use your energy on that which you have no control over. So you see what I mean? So now you're harnessing your energy only to that which you can control. And that allows you to, you know, bring your emotions, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Share your emotions in the right and the most productive way. And that's what I would say is the answer to what you're saying. You know, find a philosophy and a way of thinking that helps you to channel these things you're talking about, your emotions and your thoughts and your path, to channel them in the most economical way so that you can get the most out of your potential.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great answer. Because that was my next question to you, because I consider jazz being a healthy boundary. And when you are a innovator, mm-hmm. we all have our opinion what are healthy boundaries. Can you give me five healthy boundaries that we can let the world know about?
Sure, sure. So one healthy boundary is your friendships and relationships. You know, you want to have people that respect your, respect you, you know, you for who you are and what you are. You know what I mean?
Right.
So if you find that someone is violating those boundaries of respect, then you have to make a decision. Are they making a point and can I learn something from it? And if they're not, and you can't learn something from it, now you have to, you know, really make sure that they're not violating those boundaries and causing you trauma and PTSD and all kinds of stuff that people can cause. So that's a very big one, you know? So you have that in your relationships and friendships with others.
Right.
But another one is, you know, in your workplace, you know, I mean, as a musician, you have to decide, okay, you know, what am I willing to do to, you know, gain income and survive and grow and all that stuff? And what is within my comfort zone, you know, of what I'm going to do? I mean, if it's something that's completely outside of my trajectory as an artist, then there you go. That's a red flag. You have to make these decisions as you go along. One of them is, you know, the meditation that you're talking about. So what I will do, like you do with your meditation, that's important for your boundaries. Because see, what you're doing there and what I do myself, what I'll do is I will literally practice Tai Chi at the piano. So I will play. That slowly in a meditative form.
Wow. Okay.
That puts me in a zone. You see what I mean? But
yes.
These zones that you're talking about, you know, other people get them by running and they run like 10 miles, but they go into a meditative trance and the fourth mile, you know.
Absolutely.
What that does is, you know what? That creates a situation where you're not always going to the game, but mm-hmm. you're creating a world where the game can come to you.
To you. So yes.
You're creating your own little stadium of which others will now want to be a part of, or they'll want to interact with. So now you have two things going on, because when you're only working with the outside world, you're at all times subject to all of that craziness. You know what I mean?
So,
in other words, you know, I have a space here where I'm looking at, you know, posters of Najim Nawabi over there and, you know, all these other people. And if I go out in front here where, you know, somebody could be yelling on the street uncontrollably, who the heck knows what they're doing down there? You know what I mean? Somebody wants to beat up the fruit guy out front trying to sell his oranges and bananas. Who knows what they're doing? You know, I'm coming from, a space of, you know, I'm coming.
Healthy boundaries.
Yes. Right. And now I have a buffer. I'm a walking buffer to all of that. So yeah, it'll affect me, but it's not going to affect me as much as it would if I was coming from another part of New York City where another crazy thing was going on, one crazy thing to another. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So these are the kinds of things that you need to get into your life that bring you inner strength and any activity that brings you inner wealth. And that's where I really am way up the scale from, because all of these events that I've done, not only does the art form of jazz have the ability to have a profoundly positive effect on people, and sometimes I've found that, you know, just the music alone had a profoundly positive effect on even one person. It can be a game changer. But, you know, all of the other things that have been involved with helping these outstanding causes get from where they are now to where they need to be, you know, receiving the testimonials from all of them of, you know, hey, and, you know, they're the ones who get to say whether I helped them or not. And they said I did help them. So, you know, these kinds of things bring you inner wealth. And you want to do that, too. You want to be growing from the inside. You want to be thinking of wealth as two things. You know, one of them and probably the most important one is the wealth that you build within.
Absolutely. I do agree, because I love all types of music. I do come from the hip hop world, but as I am getting older and I am eating differently, you know, I do run, I meditate, and I come to find jazz for me has been really a soothing, calm meditator for myself. So what I do in my facility, that's what I play. So I noticed that when the girls that, you know, that come and they be maybe a little angry or a little moody, but when they hear that jazz, I just sit there and I pay attention to them, and they tend to relax. So that is a healthy boundary, and I love it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I was, you know, this morning, because there's no ski mountain here, so I had to, you know, I had to swim, but then I had to do a little workout in the gym. And in the gym, they, for some reason or other, they were playing something that was like, oh my God, I want to get out of here, but I don't want to leave my workout behind. And it's like,
right,
it's a tough position. And if they could have played anything else, it just would have been so much, you know, but there was nothing. I was stuck in this really just, it was kind of like sound, I don't know. I was like sound punishment, you know, I was being punished by the sound, you know,
yes.
And that's just unfortunate. And I think, again, people should open their ears to all kinds of music so that they can find out what they really like instead of what, you know, such and such that's supposed to be cool or whatever is telling.
Absolutely. Society, what society puts on us to say, this is what's hot.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. So can you tell me what has been your favorite performance on your tour? Something that you just like, this is my favorite performance this far.
Wow. Okay. Let's see. Oh my goodness.
Great question.
Yeah. That's a tough one. It's been because they're so different and they're so unique and they're just so incredibly different one from the other. Oh my goodness, there's so many to think of.
You haven't had like one that just, you know, like say like when I'm teaching, it's that one day that I felt like I really had gotten somewhere. This is it. This was it. That feeling. Or do you feel like that on every performance? Because you could feel that
way.
Well,
you know, every single one has completely different parameter of effects. I mean, the one that I was telling you about the Indians in New Mexico that I've told on other podcasts was, you know, kind of amazing because I flew down to New Mexico and everything was going wrong. So everything on that one was going completely as bad as it could. The flight was late. couldn't, the rental car had issues. You couldn't find this. You couldn't find that. You know, like they couldn't get the paperwork for the rental car, the blah, blah, blah. It was just every single thing. And we were late, late, late. And now there's, I've never played with the musicians and I don't know who they are. And there's supposed to be a rehearsal. Well, now there's not going to be a rehearsal. Then there's supposed to be a sound check. Well, now there's going to be no sound check. And now maybe there won't be a concert because I don't even know if I'm going to make it to the concert. So I finally get to the place. The place is packed. The musicians are on stage. And I walked in and now I had to just play music because I don't, there's, they don't want, people that are not want to hear, they've already been waiting long enough. They don't want to hear a story, a song and a dance and a big, you know, I don't want to hear all that. I'm just time to play. So now I'm playing music with musicians. We've no rehearsal. We've never played together. We don't even know who we are. And the people are going crazy because we have to, we're, you know, everything just has to work now. You know what I mean? You're not thinking, you don't have a chance to, you don't have a chance to, it's just, you just have to, you're on another, do you know what I mean? You're on a whole different plane of emotion. Right. So we're on the fly, you know, and now it comes time to announce the band members and I don't know who they are. So I'm like trying to whisper, hey man, what's your name? You know? And then he's telling me his name and I'm like talking to people and the people are like, why is that guy, don't, you know, but I have to do it because I don't know his name and I'm about to announce him. So now I announce his name and then I have to again, hey man, what's the name of the drummer, you know? And now there's this big delay because he's saying something that I don't understand. And I said, Louis, what? Speaking what? Louis Speaking Eagle? Yeah. No, I don't want to know the name of the bird. I want to know the name of the drummer. What's the name of Louis? What's his last name? Speaking Eagle's his last name. I'm going to announce it. Okay. And I had to announce to people that the drummer's name was Louis Speaking Eagle.
Eagles. Wow.
He was an Indian. He's an Indian drummer. You know what I mean? So that's giving you just an idea. That was one concert. Everyone has a story like that. So it would be hard to single one out, but that just to give you an idea of how crazy all the events were. Now, before that, I would often travel with the same band, you know. Now, if I want to say one that stands out, okay, how about this one? The concert that I recited the Jazz for Peace poem. I'll say that. So, all right. So what happened to that was, that's the opposite of this now, the complete opposite. What happened with this was, you know, we had 9/11. I had the poem. The whole country closed down for 2 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
No planes, no nothing. They opened up just in time for us, me and my band of very famous musicians. At that time, I was playing with, you know, my world famous band. I wasn't traveling by myself, you know, to pick up the musicians to, you know, help these outstanding causes. You know, there were no outstanding causes. It was just me and my band. So now I, you know, me and these famous names playing with me get on a plane, go down to Savannah, Georgia, where I'm the headliner at the festival. So there's 8,500 people at this festival. And it's the first event to even take place after 9/11. And what do I have? I have a poem that nobody even knows about. And so on the stage, I was a headliner too, the Savannah, Georgia. And on the stage for 8,500 people, I, in the middle of my concert, I read the poem Jazz for Peace. And the emotion of that was beyond anything you can imagine. And it reverberated all the way back up to upstate New York where my next concert was. And the promoters contacted me and said they'd heard about this poem. And what was that all about? And, you know, they keep, you know, all the emotions from people. And am I going to put that to music? Will we be able to perform it at their event and all that kind of stuff? So I'll say, if you want to say like that, because that was the opposite. That I had my all-star band. You know, I didn't have any adversity as far as music and that one. You see what I mean?
Yeah. I can see that.
The opposites, yeah.
Yeah, I can see that because you caught everyone off guard.
Right.
I wasn't expecting that. Now, here you are delivering this message and it resonates, you know, with everyone. I don't care because people can be in a bad mood and when they hear something and it's sincere and it just like touches you some kind of way, then
Yeah, the highlight of that whole festival was me reading that poem because, of course, they all expected great jazz, but no one expected to be touched by the words of, you know, that encompassed that what they had all experienced from in their own way from that day and from all the days that followed where they couldn't travel and they couldn't live their lives the way they had been.
Yeah. Well, Rick, we can talk and talk. It's just intriguing talking to you. Is there anything else you would like to share about what's next before we go and how someone can purchase your music or your services?
Well, the best way to get in touch with Jazz for Peace, as I had mentioned, is to watch your podcast. And if after this podcast, if you want to, because I'm going to play a little something too, so you can hear a little bit of music. Mm-hmm. After that, if you want to do some other research, you can go to our website, which is jazzforpeace.org. You can find out more about me at rickdelarada.com if you know how to spell my name. You can even type Rick Delarada famous quote, and who the heck knows what will come up, all kinds of links for this and that. I don't even know. But anyway, after you do that, the best thing to do is, and you wherever you are, whatever state you're in, we can meet. You know, there's a place for you at Jazz for Peace. Whether you know an outstanding cause, whether you are an outstanding cause yourself, whether you're affiliated one, whether you want to be a part of the movement of helping those who are helping others, you can just send an email of Jazz for Peace and we'll start including you in the whole journey. That's what I would suggest.
Yes. That's something I'm going to do.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, Rick, it has been a pleasure having you on my show and I do look forward to chatting with you further in the future. Thank you again and good luck on your endeavors. And before you take us away, I want to let the listeners know, I have reached my destination. I am a award-winning author of the new book, A Journey of a Sapphire. I hope to inspire others who are on their journey to never give up on your dreams and how to recognize behavioral problems. You can purchase my book by visiting journeyofasapphire.com, also available on Amazon Kindle Fire. And I leave you with this quote, the key to one's heart is hidden in their playlist. Take me away.
Great. So I'll leave you all with, because as you know, I don't know when this will air, but we're in New York now and it's June. So I'm going to start out with a little melody that's familiar. Frank Sinatra sang it at one time. It's a little song about New York in June. And then I'm going to go from there on this little journey into Free J.A. I have no idea myself what it's going to sound like. So we'll all find out.
Okay.
Great. I like New York in June. How about you? I like a Gershwin tune. How about you? I like a fireside when a storm is due. I like potato chips, moonlight and motor trips. How about you? I'm mad about good books, can't get my fill. And Marilyn Monroe's looks give me a thrill. They're not hands by the movie show. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. And thank you again for joining me. And I look forward to chatting with you.
Okay, likewise.
You have a beautiful day.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to All Roads 65 Max Radio with Pamela Henderson. Join us every other week on Tuesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on BBS Radio Station 1. And please visit allroads65max.org and become a volunteer or sponsor and be the change you want to see in this world. With your help, we can make a difference in our society and uplift those who so desperately need our help. Thank you for tuning in.